gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I will be joined very shortly by Royce White. I just want to go to one more clip of the Supreme Court discussion that occurred today about birthright citizenship. And this just shows you how not fit for purpose our current system is. It is literally incapable of changing for the modern age, and it's going to destroy us if we don't, you know, figure this out and figure out a way to deal with this. Again, the proper way to deal with this would be for the Congress to actually go in and rewrite the 14th Amendment, abolish the 14th Amendment, and write a new one just saying we're not doing birthright citizenship anymore. That's ridiculous. That was maybe fit for the 1860s, but we're in 2026, and it just genuinely doesn't make it. No other country in the world has this. So again, it's like, it's not like we're like, well, we got to figure out how to do that. How do we even do it if we're not doing birthright citizenship? It's like, well, why don't we just do what every other country in the world does? How about that for a start? Not that complicated, but we got to go through the Supreme Court, which I don't even understand anyway. So many of our problems have come from Congress and the Senate just giving up their power. In fact, I've got a video today of Speaker of the House of Congress, Mike Johnson, saying, well, Trump says it's not a war. He says it's a, you know, military operation. So, you know, we don't really have anything to say about it. We only come into effect when it's a war declaration. It's like, so you're giving up. You're surrendering your right to have a say over whether America goes to war. This isn't a matter of, you know, checks and balances. This is, you are abandoning your role as the check and balance. You are surrendering your prerogative to the executive. And the same thing happens with the Supreme Court. They, instead of writing laws, you know, allow the Supreme Court to basically write law from the bench. And even that is a little bit confusing because the Supreme Court will come out with decisions and then the liberals just ignore it. And it looks like it doesn't matter. I mean, they come out with a decision about, you know, you're not allowed to do DEI or affirmative action. And the colleges just openly say, we're still doing it. We're just calling it something different. And that's just allowed, apparently. That's a Supreme Court decision. They're violating it. Nothing happens. Happened again today. A judge blocked the Trump administration from terminating Biden-granted parole status for up to 900,000 immigrants. The Supreme Court decided that these little judges could not issue nationwide injunctions. But they do. They just keep doing it. So it's almost like, okay, even if the Supreme Court says that birthright citizenship is no longer legal, will the left even change their, I mean, they'll just keep giving out citizenship to whoever's here. They'll just act like it never happened. So this whole thing is broken. Let's go to clip 51. This is just how broken it is.
Based on Chinese media reports, there are 500 birth tourism companies in the People's Republic of China whose business is to bring people here to give birth and return to that nation.
Having said all that, you do agree that that has no impact on the legal analysis before us?
I think it's, I'd quote what Justice Scalia said in his Hamdan dissent, where their interpretation has these implications that could not possibly have been approved by the 19th century framers of this amendment. I think that shows that they've made a mess, their interpretation has made a mess of the provision.
Well, it certainly wasn't a problem in the 19th century.
No, but of course, we're in a new world now, as Justice Alito pointed out, too, where 8 billion people are one plane ride away from having a child who's a U.S. citizen.
Well, it's a new world. It's the same Constitution.
It is. And as Justice Scalia said, I think in the case that Justice Alito was referring to, you've got a constitutional provision that addresses certain evils, and it should be extended to reasonably comparable evils. He said that about statutory interpretation. I think the same principle applies here, and I think we quote that in our brief.
Thank you. Justice Thomas.
Again, it's just, like deliberate ignorance or something. I don't know how exactly to phrase it, but that phrase, it's a new world, but the same constitution. Yeah, that's a problem. That's like a really big problem. If these things that are occurring now were not foreseen by the people that wrote the laws, then you've got to change the law to fit with the modern reality. What the hell are you talking about? This is a problem. I mean, the Constitution is the greatest, you know, document ever written, but it's supposed to be updated. The point of the Constitution is it's supposed to be routinely updated to deal with a new situation. Robert seems not to think so. So 8 billion people, one plane ride away. Robert was just like, well, some guys wrote a law in 1868, so I guess they're all Americans.
what's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the phenomenon of prepping seems to go through like highs and lows. And it feels like I remember back when Obama was president, prepping was like the big thing. There were reality shows about it. Everybody was storing food and stuff. Because I think nobody had hope that it was ever going to get any better. Then Trump got elected, and I feel like prepping kind of like felt, you know, wasn't as culturally relevant anymore. But now we're on the cusp of World War III, nuclear exchange, total destruction, fuel rationing already taking place all over the world. And people are starting to get prepared again. Well, the best way to get prepared is to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself an Alex Jones signature Faraday bag bundle. The bag itself is well worth the full price in order to keep your electronics safe and avoid the electromagnetic waves that may result from a high-altitude nuclear explosion. But it also comes jam-packed full of other great goodies like the Tactical Trench Knife, the America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Plus Atomic Defense, a ton of other great supplements. All together, you could buy them individually for around $600. We're giving it all to you for less than $250. And for VIP members, it's only $199.99. So do not wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, get your Faraday bag bundle for a third the price that it could sell for. It could probably sell for a lot more than that, actually. It's really high quality stuff. Get it today. We're running out of supplies. Get yours while you can. Better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. Do your prepping before you need to be prepped, folks. And with that, I'm very, very happy to welcome my guest, Royce White. He is a native of Minnesota's Twin Cities, born and raised in St. Paul's historic Rondo community. A standout basketball talent, he was named Minnesota Mr. Basketball in high school, starred in Iowa State University, leading the Big 12 in nearly every major statistical category, and was selected 16th overall by the Houston Rockets in the 2012 NBA Draft. His professional career extended to championship-winning seasons in Canada, where he earned MVP honors and set records, as well as stints in the Big 3-on-3 league, where he currently serves as co-captain. And of course, it goes on and on. And typically, you know, we would tout your political acumen and all this stuff, but actually, the ball games are important now with what's going on in America. You can follow Royce White by visiting his website, RoyceWhite.us, or by following him on X at Highway_30. Royce, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, brother. Good to be here with you.
I'm glad you're here, and I feel like you're the perfect person for the big story that broke yesterday about Chicago Bulls player Jaden Ivey being essentially booted from the team for expressing just the most moderate disagreement with the LGBTQ pride agenda. As somebody with experience in the NBA, what's your take on this? What do you think of the reaction that he was actually kicked from the team for what he said?
We're living through a color revolution. That was my initial reaction. Color revolution is here. It's on. It's happening. And my thoughts are always now centered around the global. And in my campaign and running for U.S. Senate, and even when I ran for Congress, one of the things I said often on the trail was that the global affects the local. And I'm constantly thinking about the geopolitics, because how could you not? I mean, we're on the brink of a world war, right? Yeah. As you said. And it just dawns on me that in the vein of what Alex said yesterday on social media and many others in the America First movement who are opposed to the war, it shocks me that many of our detractors or critics out there, like the Mark Levins, don't see the crisis of attacks against Christians here at home just as, if not more, dangerous and insidious than whatever dangers there are a world away in the Middle East or anywhere else on the planet. And that was my initial thought, is like, these are the Christian, this is the crisis against Christianity and of our country that we should be focused on. When we say America first, this is exactly what we're talking about. And how could we let this stand, even from a legal and jurisprudential standpoint?
Yep.
You know, they're going to make 1,000 excuses and say, oh, well, a private company has the right to fire who they want and terminate who they want, just like the social media platforms have a right to censor who they want. At some point, our monopoly antitrust laws, at some point, there have to be Christian discrimination lawsuits that protect Christians. Christians are not covered under the law in this country, and that's become extremely obvious.
Yeah, and it is extremely ridiculous because of the, you know, inequity of the way that religions are talked about. I mean, nobody would kick a Muslim off a team for opposing LGBT. They'd be celebrated and uplifted. I mean, the inequity is really glaring when it comes to Christianity, and it's making some people hypocrites. I saw this, and I think this goes to exactly what you're talking about. Dana Leish, you know, the lady, says the Bulls are punishing a player for being a Christian. This is religious discrimination. Now, she's right. I don't disagree with her. But then somebody else pointed out, you were just supporting this 2 weeks ago when it was Cree Prejean Buller, who, of course, was kicked off of the, you know, White House Religious Tolerance Board for promoting her Christian beliefs. So, I mean, this is a really big issue. And, you know, Jaden Ivey sort of brings it to the fore in popular culture. But, I mean, anti-Christian discrimination is really heating up rapidly. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the Jaden Ivey story is sort of on three fronts. The first front is, obviously, if the left, the contradiction, if he had come out as gay and he had been let go or released from the team because he was homosexual, the entire left would have cried discrimination. Obviously, I mean that kind of goes without saying, and they would have demanded legal reparation for it. By the way, for the anti-LGBTQ hatred, bigotry from the NBA. So the double standard is pretty clear, and I think, you know, maybe even more importantly, but certainly just as important, is this color revolution. This stuff, from a legal standpoint, has reached a level of national security threat, and I do think it's that serious. I mean, people look at it and say, it's just another NBA player. He can't just be saying whatever he wants. No freedom of speech without consequence. Well, actually, I think we need to, and as you were alluding to in the previous segment, we need to start to evaluate how to properly interpret freedom of speech in the workplace and when it comes to corporations.
Right.
And if we don't do that, then we don't have freedom of speech. Actually, it's just a fictitious idea, much like the rule of law when you have corrupt Supreme Court justices. But, you know, even when it comes to freedom of speech, it's like, yeah, sure, a company has a right to its own freedom of speech in a way. Every corporate entity has a right to express itself how it wants to and fire and hire who it wants. But in principle, it should be trying to, at least on face value, uphold a fair amount equity, as you would say, as mm-hmm. you could put it, equity when it comes to the value of freedom of speech. And it's like they're not even pretending that freedom of speech is a value that they hold in any regard. And it's become widespread on the left across the entire corporatocracy. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, it's the freedom of speech piece just comes and goes. It blows with the wind, and we can't have it that way. And ultimately, if Christians keep getting crushed like this under the weight of this corrupt color revolution, my God, I mean, there won't be a place for us to you know, celebrate Holy Week here in the near future.
So what do we do? What do we do about? I mean, are we just not standing up for ourselves enough? We, you know, the crew just pulled up a headline, and of course they're going to say MAGA cries about Christian discrimination. But there's this again, you know, inequity. I feel like we need even a better word. Because I always say, like, it's not as if, well, a Christian person says something and a Jewish person said the same thing, and only the Christian's getting, you know, punished. It's like, right. Okay, a Christian basically said, I think LGBT is kind of unrighteous. That's it. That's what he said. That was the big crime. He gets fired from his job. Meanwhile, you know. Well, hell, I mean, especially when you look at the corporate thing, with the NBA, Miles Bridges was a guy who was arrested and criminally charged with multiple felony counts of domestic violence and child abuse after an alleged assault on the mother of his children. He only got a 30-game suspension and remained with the team. Meanwhile, you say that Pride Month is maybe not the most righteous thing in the world, and you get cut. So there's just an inequality and a total unbalance of of the way this is being treated.
Can we go to this for sure? I mean, the NBA. The NBA trying to act like they're the moral arbiter of anything based on this kid's comments is completely dishonest and reprehensible. But can we take it down to this level? I don't want to give any merit to the allegations against Miles Bridges because we know how prominent the Me Too feminism is as well, right? Sure. And on face value, at least, you say this thing happened in the public, so it has a sort of ramification, a ripple effect. You're not treating it fairly. Okay, cool. But the Miles Bridges thing, I know plenty of women who get in a fight with their boyfriend or child's father or husband and say, oh, he beat me up, he's hurting the kid. And we got to put a stop to that, too. That's also part of the legal crisis in our country. But, let's take it down to this level. And I was saying this earlier on my daily call-in show. And now we're doing it in the morning at 7 a.m. I got to get you to come in at 7 a.m. if you're ever up that early and be a guest. But
I stay up that late, maybe.
We'll have you do a 24-hour hold through to the show.
I'd wake up early for you. That'd be fun.
You know, this even communism, right? Like, and I was saying earlier this morning that we have to start the attack on us through language is profound and significant, and even communism. And today I used the term Fox News communists. And I'm sure that would blow a lot of conservative folks' minds, not the people who watch this show, but just, you know, in general. And the reason why I say is, like, we have to start to really hone in on some of these definitions that we just casually have used over the years. And I think that's true of freedom of speech. But I'll give you an example, and it's not unrelated to the NBA because they have a significant Jewish lobby influence. I mean, Adam Silver's father was the founder of Prokshire in New York City, which was the sine qua non of the legal Jewish sphere of influence in New York City and maybe the entire modern world. I mean, Prokshire was the law firm that the Jewish folks went to because the WASP law firms didn't accept Jews back then, which is just a matter of historical fact. But so it's not by accident Adam Silver's father is the commissioner of the NBA, and they're all lawyers. And the things that they push in terms of the policies and even the way that they treat some of these players is all intended to be a part of the control of the narrative. Communism, for example. Okay. And we're in a war. And it's like, if you believe in the socialization of risk on money that you print that doesn't really exist, on the backs of future working class sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, and then you try and paper the whole thing over by placing the interest burden back on those same people, and then you have a global dollar empire that's based on your currency, you know, the strength and value of your currency, or the faith in your currency, you're a communist. Like, if you print money that you don't have and then you send it to a military industrial complex for a war a world away and you socialize the risk on the working class, you're a communist. And we just have to get razor sharp about how we define these issues. Because right now I'm saying anybody who's supporting this war in Iran, in theory and in principle, is a communist. Now, I'm not saying there's not a certain level of socialism throughout our entire country and throughout our entire society, American society or culture, because there is a certain amount of socialism we accept. But if you tune into Fox News, they'll go, Governor Tim Walz, he's unfit to be the governor of Minnesota or any state or certainly vice president because he said socialism, one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness. And I would certainly agree that there's only a degree of separation, if that, between socialism and communism. Right. And so from the halls of the Capitol here in St. Paul to the locker rooms of the NBA, to the front line of the war there in Iran, all the way to the CCP in Beijing, we are under a communist color revolution. And it's quite clear, actually, once you kind of just step back from it and let it be what it is. It's very clear.
And it's sort of like, I mean, they still privatize the gains, though, don't they? They socialize the losses in private. So we're really getting the worst of everything.
Ultra
the worst
communism.
Parts of capitalism, worst parts of communism. It's a smorgasbord. We pick and choose only the worst parts. But no, you're exactly right. And I want to drill down on a couple things you mentioned, which is the pressure that comes to bear on these players, because this seems to be a little bit different than normal. And I wonder if this is a sign of really a significant change in the culture, because typically what would happen, we've seen this before, an athlete would come out, they'd say something, I don't want to do Pride Night. And then it was like they were taken into a back room. God only knows what machine was hooked up to them. But the next day they'd come out going, I'm so sorry. I let my team down. I let my family down. And I just want to apologize. And it's like, what did they do to you? You had a firmly held religious belief yesterday. You're denouncing it today. What do they do to people in between these two announcements?
I could tell you exactly what they do, because it happened to me. They threaten you. That's what they do. See, people, and this is, I probably should have led with this. I'm caught up in the geopolitics. I'm running for U.S. Senate. But as far as a personal anecdote about the NBA and how it works, people forget that I fought for mental health policy, not the woke transgender mental health policy. I mean legitimate, like, hey, people are struggling with alcohol abuse and drug addiction and anxiety and depression and PTSD from growing up on the south side of Chicago under Marxist Democrats makes you feel like you lived there through Fallujah.
Right.
But about a degree of difference between Fallujah, Iraq in the 90s or 2000s in the south side of Chicago.
Right.
But, you know, I fought the NBA on mental health policy then, and they're so brazen and arrogant. They actually had the audacity to tell me, young man, you're right about the mental health crisis. You're right about the lack of policy. But who are you to force us to do it? You don't have any money yet. You don't have a lot of notoriety or fame. And we are the gatekeepers to the very things you would need to push this cause forward. So you can either shut up and wait until you're a little more famous and rich to be a trailblazer, a pioneer about this specific social issue, which has exploded now nationwide and worldwide. There's a full-blown mental health crisis. I would say it's more in pathomania and, you know, mass formation psychosis. But, you know, all in all, it's a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
And they told me straight up and down, you can shut up and play along, and we'll help you do everything you want to do.
Oh, sure.
Or you can keep talking and you'll be, a joke in the ash bin of history. And I actually told David Stern in a conversation that the both of us had that he was going to die before I did, and that God will not be mocked. And at the end of the day, they could keep their money. They can have their money. They can have their superficial fame and status. But here I am anyway, and I'm going to continue to fight. A lot of these players don't have that same courage. They feel that their identity. When you grow up as a basketball player from 5 years old, that's right, all you've ever done, especially with any rigorous discipline, your entire identity is wrapped up in the sport. And so you finally make it to the pinnacle. Your dream comes true. And you have these people who you've never met pull you into a black room, mm-hmm. no pun intended, pull you into a back room and threaten to take your dream away from you. Of course, a lot of people are gonna fold under that pressure.
And it's social pressure too, isn't it? That's what I always assume, because I try to picture how these conversations go, and I always imagine the, hey, look, we understand you have a really, you know, you should feel strongly about this, and we respect that, but do you really want to make the rest of the team suffer? You know, you're going to really cost these guys a championship if you keep going like this. Is that really what you want to? I mean, how much is that sort of pressure used, or is it more just blunt? I mean, the way you're saying it, it sounds like they're just straight up like, we will destroy you, so shut up. I mean,
the loose camaraderie that comes through in the promotion of basketball is just that. It's very loose behind the scenes. I mean, they may try and run that gamut on you, like, hey, you're going to mess up the chemistry but you got to remember Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time, took his own private plane away from the other players because, hell, he was Michael Jordan. And in many ways, he had earned that right. And I'm not against that. I mean, from a meritocratic standpoint, if Michael Jordan wanted to take two unicorns to the basketball game, fair play to him, right? Because he earned that.
He earned it, yeah.
He's the greatest of all time. But, you know, that's probably not as much as your agent would come to you. You know, maybe your financial advisor, maybe somebody from one of the shoe companies from the endorsement side of things, maybe your publicist, right? And they have these backdoor channels to the league or the commissioner or you know, the team administration, and there's a conversation that happens behind your back about the, you know, the betterment of your career and your financial stability and your mother and father. They get them on the phone or on the plane to come in and say, hey, don't forget, you know, we got to keep paying for your little brother's private school.
Right.
Right. So they use the social pressure in that way. And then when all else fails, they'll just wage a full-blown media propaganda campaign against you, like they're doing to this young man right now.
Yeah.
There's actually a thread of social media that would suggest this kid isn't good enough to have an opinion that's controversial, which is blatantly immoral, right? Just in principle. I mean, who cares how many points he's scoring? Why should that even impact what he's saying, if he has a right to, and if it's true? And then obviously that he's bigoted, right? That he's hateful for even saying there's an unrighteousness to this propaganda, which is them doubling down on the communist color revolution, that there are no sexual ethics or morals anymore, unless your name is President Trump or anybody else who wants to run for office. Then any woman you ever slept with or even looked at becomes a cudgel that's going to be used against you.
Yeah, that's very true. And of course, you know, this goes back. There was a decision yesterday about conversion therapy. My argument always was, like, you can either ban both or ban neither. But obviously there's an ideological monopolization that's going on, where they're saying you have to promote pride, which is a moral framework that is different and contrary to Christianity. They're saying you cannot promote Christianity. You have to promote pride. I mean, if that's not a violation of the fundamental, you know, purpose of the First Amendment and freedom of religion, I don't know what is.
I'm not sure how we've gotten to this place, but we certainly need to do something fast to get out of it. And again, like I said earlier, I think the war is a world away. You know, there are two competing theories. And one, you could say, hey, President Trump just wanted to remind the Muslims that we will do violence, because there is a doormat Christianity that pervades all of Western society.
True.
And that's part of what we're talking about here, is this doormat Christianity has been crushed under the Supreme Court, or the courts down the trough. Yep. Here in this country, it's been crushed by the corporatocracy. Christianity is getting crushed at every angle. So at least the president had the military to send a gut punch, a reminder to the Muslims, hey, we will do violence. We're not just going to sit back and watch this. So there's that theory of the case. And then there's the theory of the case that even if you accept that that is true and maybe necessary, the real crisis of an intifada, of a communist color revolution, of the traitors in the courts or in the Senate or in the House, it's right here at home. I mean, the front wave of that war is right here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Ilhan Omar seems all but can't be defeated in her district. Yeah. I mean, that tells you where the fight really is. It's not in Tehran or anywhere in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree with you more. Can you stay with us for the whole hour? I wasn't sure if you could keep us. You can? Okay, thank you very much. All right, because I don't want to end right now. There's so much more to get into, because this really does sort of touches everything that we're talking about today. It does have to do with the Iran war and the effects that it's having here, and the effects of Israel and trying to push anti-Semitism bills. I mean, we are very rapidly, literally losing the First Amendment because we're not fighting for it, because we're not standing up for ourselves. And I see sort of a similarity. I always talk about how, you know, the leftist view of race is very sort of a weird inverted white supremacy, where they go, you know, white people are fine. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't need any, you know, defense. We're white people. We'll be fine. It's like, no, you won't. And it's almost the same with Christianity, where it's just like, we're Christian. We're all Christian. It's fine. It's like, no, you can go away too. You deserve protection too. More with Royce White on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you feel in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined by Royce White. He, of course, hosts the Sunday Night Show here on InfoWars, does an incredible job with that every Sunday evening. You can get to his website by going to RoyceWhite.us. You can follow him on X at Highway_30. We're talking about all sorts of stuff, but sort of centralizing our discussion on the fact that the Bulls NBA team has waived Jaden Ivey after anti-religion LGBTQ rants, is how the New York Post puts it, or as a post-millennial, pro sports players stand up for Jaden Ivey as he's canceled by Chicago Bulls over Christian beliefs. I think that's a more accurate headline. It does feel a little bit different this time, though, doesn't it, Royce? I mean, we've seen this not the first time somebody's been canceled for something like this, but he hasn't apologized. It seems like the outrage I'm seeing is a lot more, and there are a lot of pro athletes, even if they're not coming out blatantly and saying it, they're making social media posts just saying, hey, Jesus is king, you know, and just sort of signaling, hey, I stand with Jaden. Does this feel different to you? Does this signal a shift in the wider consciousness?
I think so. You know, and I think overall your athletes are going to look, a part of this communist color revolution that's not really talked about so much right now is the attempt to take some of the youngest, strongest men in our society, which some of these professional athletes are some of the most incredible human beings to ever live, I mean, in the history of human civilization, some of the things they can do physically and movement-wise is next to supernatural. And there is a sort of cultural effect and intent to take the strongest young men amongst us and neuter them, and emasculate them, you know, and turn them into eunuchs, put them in dresses, and normalize this effeminate, which then becomes homosexual or, in the worst case scenario, transgender mentality. Yeah. And so I think naturally, as we track along here, people got to remember these things happen over long courses of time, or sometimes over a longer course of time. As we track along here, the American professional sports culture, the excellence, the mastery of skill, the hard work and discipline it takes to become a high-level professional athlete is so diametrically opposed to the everybody's equal egalitarianism of the far left. There's naturally going to be a friction and a collision at some point. I just think that this Jaden Ivey story and the Christian piece of it is the fuel, is fueling something that's, it's a powder keg already. Because you can't take men who believe in merit just naturally from their career or their passion, the thing that they're good at. You can't take those men and tell them everybody should be equal and then tell them, well, you're not equal if you believe in Christ. It's like, what kind of racket is that?
Right.
You know, so I think naturally this thing is going to unravel. The question is, will we be able to hold the country long enough? Will we be able to keep in the fight long enough to take back some of the institutions, right? I mean, that's the whole point of deconstructing administrative state and going against the deep state and shattering the security state and all the things that the MAGA movement said that it was planning to do. And some of them we're doing, some of them we haven't done. I'm in favor, I'm a maximalist. I'm in favor of doing radical things like let's arrest some United States senators and Supreme Court justices. Right. I think President Trump should arrest Chief Justice Roberts. I always hearken people back to Abraham Lincoln suspending habeas corpus and telling Chief Justice Taney, as the rumor goes, told Chief Justice Taney in the United States versus Merryman decision, if you release Merryman or any of these other Confederates, I'm going to arrest you next.
Right.
And he understood the dire nature of the situation. And I don't know that President Trump either does or that the American people have the stomach for him to go maximalist. I know we all say we want that, but I kind of get the sense if he went max, over half, and maybe more than over half of the Republican caucus would sponsor his impeachment papers the next day. You know, if he was to actually arrest John Thune on dereliction of duty charges for withholding secure elections from American citizens, I think your average Republican would say that's a step too far. And I say that for a reason. I use that example to draw back to the NBA. I think a lot of Fox News communists look at professional sports and what happened with Colin Kaepernick, and they're so, and rightfully so, discontent with what's happened to American professional sports. They say, oh, well, this is unacceptable. Well, what if President Trump, put out an executive order and we were going to, bring down the hammer, some harsh penalties or sanctions on some of these companies that were anti-Christian? Would Republicans say that that's an overreach of the executive? And I tend to think that they would. So, we find ourselves in a peculiar situation where people know what the problem is, but they don't necessarily want to take the prescription or the cure.
You're exactly right. It's like the biggest issue we have right now is like trying to get through to the Republicans. Like, what do y'all not understand about the condition that America's in, about the seriousness of the problems that we face? And it kind of goes along with, I want to ask the other players on the Bulls, like, why would you not stand up for your teammate? Why would you not, like, I get that it's important that you want to have your million-dollar career and you don't want to cause trouble. I get that would be inconvenient. But, like, do you not get what's at risk here? Do you not understand that, like, each one of these instances is another incremental, it's another bar on the jail cell around us? How do we convey to people the importance of what's going on? We can, I could talk to Senator John Thune and try to explain to him, what's happening. At the end of the day, he's just, it's just how it is. It's just the way we do it. And it's like, yeah. What do we have to do to get through to some of these people? and just and get them to take the necessary measures.
Yeah, you got to start arresting some people. That's for sure.
A good place to start.
It'd be a good place to start. Yeah, and again, even from a cultural standpoint, when you talk about the makeup of an NBA team, half of those players on each team don't believe in God in the first place. I mean, or they only casually or loosely believe in God, much like a lot of the 501c3 Christians all across our great nation here. We don't live in a Christian nation. We live in a nation that should be Christian, that was intended to be predominantly Christian, but we're so far from that, it's almost laughable at this point, right? Because if you're a Christian nation, you don't let communists and Satanists and pedophiles take over just from the outset. I mean, that would be a non-starter. It isn't a non-starter. But half of those players on those teams don't even believe in God. The other half are frightened to lose financial security in what is a very financially insecure environment nationwide. I mean, we have real financial insecurity that's widespread. So, I mean, imagine you're accustomed to the high life. You don't want to lose that. And this goes to a much deeper issue of radical materialism and communism and Marxism and the reduction of the human existence down to price.
Yep.
And we have to understand, all of us, and even President Trump. That's why I don't like when he says, oh, me and President Xi have a good relationship. No, you don't. He wants to kill you. Because, again, if Iran is being subsidized by China in an Iron Triangle alliance and the Iranians sanctioned a hit on the president, that would mean China sanctioned a hit on the president. So he's not your friend. But what we can definitively say about China is that they are a nation led by tyrannical and authoritarian engineers. We are a nation that wanted to be a nation of ideas and laws. So naturally, we're a nation led by lawyers. When you put tyrannical engineers versus crony capitalist lawyers, the tyrannical engineers win 9 times out of 10. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is there any scenario where a nation ruled by lawyers, in general, lawyers, can beat a nation ruled by tyrannical engineers? I think the answer is yes, but the premium on the rule of law and the integrity of the institutions that uphold the rule of law has to be almost unimpeachable, unassailable. And we're so far from that. It's that in and of itself is almost a concession to our defeat of by the Chinese, because we don't, I mean, we're inverted. We think of the law as something that should, you know, almost axiomatically be corrupt. Like, yeah, well, it's the law. Of course, it's pay to play. I mean, if you can't afford a good lawyer, of course the judge is going to hit you with the book, Alex Jones, in a civil case where you owe $1 billion. I mean, this thing is, I thought it was out of control then. Right. When Alex Jones was sued and they awarded $1 billion, I said, oh, tyranny. Right. And people kind of looked at it, even on the right, and said, well, yeah, Alex Jones deserved it. He shouldn't have been running his mouth like that. Well, now you get a Christian, young Christian man who says, hey, the LGBTQ is a little unrighteous. And the NBA throws the book at him, you know, metaphorically. And then the same conservatives who okayed Alex Jones being sued into oblivion are now mad that the Christian can't say what he wants. What don't you people get? They're all connected.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all connected to the same communist color revolution.
Yeah, that has to hollow out our country, has to undermine our foundational beliefs. And they often do it by sort of using our own beliefs against us. And I mean, this is something I say all the time, is like, you're not a good person for being taken advantage of. People really think that it's like mean to defend yourself. It's mean to lay down the law. It's like, no, mercy to the guilty is violence to the innocent, right? You have to be hardcore about this stuff. And you're right. I don't understand how we've gone so far off the mark. And it seems like, especially, I mean, even like when arguing with the leftists, it's like, all right, you like all these things like welfare and the you know, government money come to you, shouldn't they be the ones who are concerned about the fraud? They don't care about the fraud for some reason. It's like, we have to have more hardcore laws here. We have to have people stick to it. The judges won't convict anybody. Somebody just stole, you know, tens of millions of dollars. This woman, Zamzam, her name is Zamzam. She was just convicted. I think $40 million, if I'm not mistaken, that she stole. She was asked to pay back less than $500,000. She'll spend 6 months in prison. By August this year, she'll be back in Somalia with tens of millions of stolen dollars. And it's like, that's the justice system. Meanwhile, I'm sure you've heard the story. A guy's facing 10 years for cheating in a fishing tournament. It's like everything has gone off the rails, Royce. Like,
yes. How?
And the problem is that our system is so broken now, it's opening up an opportunity for the communists, for the radicals, for the revolutionaries to come in and go, this system's messed up. You need us. You need our new amazing system that I promise is going to make everything right. How do we fix the system while still trying to uphold the system? We don't want to tear it down. We want to fix. It's a complicated issue. How do we approach this?
I think the reason why people are willing to put up with it is because they enjoy the benefits. As I said about the Somali community, I did this PBS Frontline interview, and I said people crave tyranny. And the interviewer at the time, I know him, I've known him for many years now. He works for PBS, or he's an independent contractor. Anyway, he's like, well, I don't want tyranny. I don't want to live under a tyrant. I go, yeah, so you say. I mean, Aristotle's Fifth Book of Politics tells us that women and slaves love tyrants. We got a lot of women running this country, but we also have a lot of slaves, debt slaves, wage slaves, right? So, I mean, I think the dark truth is people crave tyranny because it's convenient. And
it's easy.
It's easy, yeah. And, we take the benefits. It's like the Somali community, for example. Oh, ICE is terrorizing us. Oh, the federal government's overreaching. This is tyranny. Well, you accept the subsidies. You can't have you can't have it both ways. You can't have a government that's inflated well beyond its rightful size and think that tyranny isn't going to – you're not going to feel the sting of tyranny and then say, oh, well, but it's okay because I still get my social programs. And that's the left right now. Of course they don't. They don't care if Somalis – because we're printing more money. As long as they get their SNAP benefits, they don't care if – and this is the danger. This is what they would call in the financial sector moral hazard. Right. The sort of subtle unintended consequences of certain financial instruments and mechanisms. Like if you're going to print money and there's no penalty, no real penalty or consequences for stealing money or losing money, Department of Defense, hey, we lost another $2 trillion. What the hell? Doesn't matter. If there's no consequences, as I've said for many years, even when I was back on Jason Whitlock's show, when your government steals, everybody steals. See, this is how the Republicans really get us, though. They want our political identity to be attached to the cultural wedge issues just as much as the left, because it's easy for them to control the narrative around cultural wedge issues. Even the LGBTQ, women playing in men's sports. My Senate opponent, Michelle Tafoya, her whole campaign is we got to get men out of women's sports. It's like you want to be a United States senator. And I get that's ridiculous and an abomination that we've allowed that to happen. But talk to me about monetary policy.
Right.
Talk to me about foreign policy. Talk to me about legacy institutions that have generations of corruption throughout. Don't talk to me about a couple of weird tranny dudes and playing in sports. That goes without saying, right? Or it should. But it's the Fox News MO is pay attention to the young black men who are snatching bags out of department stores. It's like, well, you could take every black person in America and add up all the merchandise they've stolen for the last 100 years, and it wouldn't be a drop in the bucket for $2 trillion that the Department of Defense just misplaced, right? And it's like, well, those two things aren't connected. It's like, oh, really, Mark Levin? They're not connected? Oh, sure, buddy. Let's just go by the quantitative measure. The more money you steal, the greater penalty. There shouldn't be a reprieve for stealing more money. It's like the difference between white collar crime and blue collar crime. It's like, they only stole money in the stock exchange. It's like, well, that has a real world effect on people. Like, where are we getting off letting these white collar, cosmopolitan, omnisexual globalists get away with this financial racket?
Yep.
Racketeering is what it is. Through our own military industrial complex, we pay for it. But, people have to wake up and get wise to that. And if they did, you'd never vote for a Gavin Newsom again.
Yep.
Like, oh, what a jerk off, right? I mean, it's all of them, right? It's all of them. But then it's so bad, even Massey. And I've asked this question a number of times. Maybe you can help me out with the thinking. So even Massey, who I like and I agree with a lot, and it's just like, well, the Congress is captured, 95% captured. But then you want the president to come to the Congress and ask them for permission to do anything. It's like, wouldn't that be a concession to the capture? And I get it. It's like, well, we got to follow the rules. It's like, no, you guys didn't play sports. When a scuffle breaks out in the middle of a game, there are no more rules.
Yep.
There are no more. When I get hit with that bean pitch and I storm the mound, we're emptying these dugouts. And the only way the only way we go back to the rules is if both teams say, we've had enough. We want to return back to the rules. Then you can go back to the previous rules. But until then, the rules are effectively suspended. This is a knock. This is a blood sport now in basketball, and don't even talk about MMA. But you know, that's kind of my mentality. Is like, there's a suspension of the rules. The left suspended them. The communists suspended them. The globalists suspended them. The only one playing by the rules are the doormat Christians and the cuckservatives.
And they're doing it themselves. Like, we're doing it ourselves. We're enforcing it on ourselves. And I think you're exactly right, because our whole system depends on precedent, right? And this is always the excuse from the Republicans as well. We can't do that because what if they come back and do it to us? That doesn't work when the left routinely does things that are unprecedented, routinely does things that have no precedent at all in law or justice or morality or anything. And then Republicans refuse to return the favor because, you know, like you said, like when once the scuffle breaks out, you know, it's all bets are off, clear the dugouts, let's go. But even in smaller ways, it's like if you're playing on team and they go, oh, well, we don't play that. We don't play offsides. We don't play whatever it is. You know, we do a change rule. And it's like, okay, that's the new rule. Now you have to play by that. So, okay, if they want to throw people in jail for January 6th, I guess that's the new rule. I guess we have to play by that. And that actually is the reason why, you know, the precedent setting works, is because we need Democrats to go, ooh, if we do that, they're going to do it to us. But they know we're not going to do it to them, so they can do whatever the hell they want. And Republicans will sit there following the rules that are no longer valid.
Yes. No, that's 100% right. And we just don't. We just got to get some toughness and grit. I said it the other day about when I did the show on Sunday about the 1776 mantra so oftenly invoked by conservatives. And it's like, well, you know, what about law enforcement? I mean, we have a default position on the right that comes from the cuckservative Fox News communists that says anything a cop tells you to do ever, you should just listen. You should obey. It's like, excuse me? What did you just say? What if they tell me I have to take a vaccine or provide my vaccine mandate papers? Do I still have to obey and listen? Oh, well, that wouldn't happen. Oh, really? Mark Levin, you're vaccinated, buddy. I mean, and we know it. So, and I don't mean to keep picking on him, but he has become, you know, sort of the titular head of conservative ink and the messaging and narrative. And it's just like, where do these people get off with these type of brazen contradictions? Their logic is so flawed. And the fact that people are even willing to listen to them, let alone follow them, is a sign of a decadent culture. But I hope we could turn it around. You can't preclude miracles, especially during Holy Week, right? Mm. Christ is risen, and miracles are possible. So we could turn it around, but we need some hellacious fighters right now to step up and just say things like you are. If you support the war in Israel, you're a communist. Why? Socialism and communism are only a degree away, and we're socializing the risk of our phony money in order to fund the war. So you're just as much of a socialist as the Somalis who stole a state taxpayer money.
Yep. And or just stand on the First Amendment and go, sorry, you don't have a right to tell me what I can and can't say. I don't care if you think it's hateful. I don't care if you think it's anti-Semitic. I get to say what I want. And actually, it's those things that are hateful or anti-Semitic or whatever. That is literally the reason the First Amendment was written. Obviously, it is the thing that gives Jews the right to practice their religion and Catholics the right to practice their religion. It also, incumbent in that right, is the right for everybody else to criticize, mock, denigrate. It doesn't matter. It's the same rule that gives both of these rights to the American people. And that is where the biggest threat is coming from, as far as I can see it. The push for anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism laws, and the hatred of Christianity and the discrimination against Christians. I mean, this is a major problem that we have to identify and fight against. What's the best way to do that, do you think?
Well, I just think I think we're at a point now where we can't rely on the Supreme Court or any other courts to adjudicate that type of justice or fairness interpretation of the laws that we already have. A commander-in-chief, a warrior philosopher, is going to have to take power in this country at some point and bring down the hammer. Now, I'm not ever for rounding people up and having, you know, kangaroo witch hunt lawfare or weaponized courts. But, you know, some of these things are sort of explicitly anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-human.
Yep.
It's like, look at what happened in Spain. Euthanasia. I mean, where are we headed? We know where we're headed. We're looking at the inevitability of what we will become when we see a euthanization carried out on a 24-year-old young, healthy-bodied, abled woman in Spain, in Europe, and then we're paying to subsidize their territorial integrity. It's like at the moment where they lose the sanctity of life, we should be pulling out of NATO, mm-hmm. and that should just be a matter of principle and morality. But well, we don't have that moral structure. Okay, fine. If the rules are there are no morals, then let's just call it that. Let's just say that. I mean, but let's not say we're going to fight a war for Israel on behalf of Christianity and you know, our morals. It's like, no, you're not.
No. Yeah.
I mean, who do you think you're? Who you think you're? Come on. Don't even say that. Like, it actually under. I'd rather you just come out and say, we don't give a damn about the morals or the ethics. There are no rules. There are no morals. We're going to win the Darwinian game, and that's just the way we're playing it. Okay, now we can have a better conversation. But when you undermine the Christian ethic at a fundamental level, you have abnegated your legitimacy to say that it's in a pursuit of a Christian formulation of thought or culture. That's just blasphemy, is what it is in Holy Week here. That, my friends, is blasphemy.
And we see it everywhere. It's absolutely constant and ridiculous. Just incredible stuff. Royce White is my guest. RoyceWhite.us is the website. @Highway_30 on X. And, of course, you're running for Senate. How can people help you with that? Any events coming up? Anything you need people to know about your campaign?
Yes, U.S. Senate. I'm running for U.S. Senate again. Tina Smith, open seat. Running it, hopefully, against the Democrat, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan. Protect trans rights with the knife. Angie Craig. $3 million from AIPAC. On my side, you got Michelle Tafoya, pro-choice, pro-Zionist. And you got Adam Schwarzy, 20-year naval vet, recently the CIA, pro-life, pro-Zionist. I mean, they're trying to pincer me at every angle here.
Right, they got you at every corner.
But hey, I'm just a dumb black Negro from the neighborhood, and I'm America first, so I guess that makes me persona non grata. And I wear it as a badge of honor. Come see me and Mike Lindell at Wayzata Middle School if you're in Minnesota on April 8th.
Well, we need more people like you in the government, man. We wouldn't be in this situation in the first place if we had more. RoyceWhite.us @Highway_30 on X. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir. It's very, very interesting times we live in, and the cultural landscape is shifting underneath us. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support everything that we do here. We're running out of Faraday bags, so get yours while you still can. Stay tuned. I'll be joined very shortly by Tiffany Cianci with some breaking news about pesticide law that nobody else has. This is an exclusive coming up.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, $400 or $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249, but guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife, it's badass, America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummy, Shilajit Capsules, Irish Sea Moss Capsules, Warcry Premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you ask, when are we going to shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley Owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of a limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.